Welcome to Marketing, Media, and Money, your go-to podcast for proven profitable strategies, secrets, and resources from industry experts and global influencers to help you scale your business, shorten your learning curve, and stand out in a crowded, noisy marketplace. Here's your host, award-winning marketing and media strategist and international speaker, Patty Farmer.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of the Marketing, Media, and Money podcast. Today, we're going to be talking about a topic that I think everybody struggles with, whether they admit it or not, or whether they're using AI or not. Because today, we're going to be talking about using your great copy and brand differentiators to connect and resonate with your dream clients without spending hours on fad tactics or dancing reels. That sounds really good to me. So let me tell you a little bit about our guest. So Christine McShane is a copywriter and content marketer who understands that good writing is more than just pretty words. It should be compelling and achieve your underlying business objectives. And through her one-on-one work and her private memberships, Christine specializes in helping service-based entrepreneurs use their brand differentiators to connect and resonate with their dream clients in their copy and content, and to become best friends with their brand. I love that. So thank you so much, Christine, for being here with me today.
Thank you, Patty. I'm excited. Happy to chat.
I'm excited. I'm really excited because I find that in the time that I've known you, that you are a copywriter, but you're right. You are a content marketer, not just a content writer. And I think there's a huge difference there. And I think that part of that for me is because you're such a community builder as well, right? And so because you're always having conversations and you have such a great community, which we'll talk about in a little bit, I think that because of that, you really have learned how to really resonate. And then because you have a photography background, right? You know how to help people in front of the camera, behind the camera, having conversations. And I think that makes you well-rounded and able to resonate and really be able to walk your talk. So I am so excited to have you here today and have you share your expertise with us.
Thanks, Patty. Yeah, it's been fun. It is a good community, but I've built my business around community and connecting with partners and connecting with clients. And a lot of the people that you and I serve do the same thing. And I think there's a ton of value in there. And I think that's where we find our best clients. That's how we find our ideal clients, to be honest.
Oh, I agree with you. I think that is so important. But one of the things that you said that really stands out for me, because I love the word, but you put it together with brand and I like it. So you said using their brand differentiators. Now, I have to tell you, you know, I'm in marketing and everything for me is like, how are you going to differentiate yourself? But when you said brand differentiators, now I know what that is. And I don't know if the audience does, and maybe even if they do, let's talk about that. Can you define that for you? Because I know how important it is, but I think that, is it the thing that you really need to start with first? Because I know that when people hire me, there's certain things that I like to start with that make it so much easier. So are those the things that when you are starting to help someone, whether it's to literally write copy, help them with, you know, create some content, because copy and content isn't exactly the same thing too. So maybe that should be the first question for you. How do you define copy versus content? And then how does brand differentiators come into play there? And is that the starting point?
Sure. So yeah, to me, it is the starting point, and it's the starting point of either copy or content. So to define the difference, copy, when we refer to copy, we're really talking about sales material. So if you have a new offer that you're trying to put out, you put up a sales page and you'll have copywriting on that page. Or if you're trying to market through your email list, you're going to have some sales emails. Those are written very specifically to have sales conversations in the place of this one-to-one conversation. So a lot of us have discovery calls, maybe you have a sales team that goes out and has those one-to-one conversations, and those are very, very powerful. But what about when we sell on our webpage? What about when we sell in our email, something that's a little more scalable? Having those digital conversations 24 hours a day is powerful. And that's what sales copy is. It's literally having a sales conversation on your behalf And there's a lot that goes into it. So that's copy. And then content is really like the dating piece. It is the, I'm getting to know you, right? So like, do you want to be friends with me? Do we like each other? Here's my vibe. You know, do you want to come hang out with me? And that's really what I think content does, is saying, hey, I'm over here. I'm doing this stuff. I'm inviting you to come hang out with me for a little bit. And then at some point, we might want to get serious. So like a lot of times in marketing, we use that analogy of like, you don't get married on the first date, right? And that's why we don't go busting out with sales ads all the time and expect them to convert, because it's like trying to get married on the first date. So content's really our dating. It's our friendship. We're becoming friends with our brands, or we're hoping that our prospects are becoming best friends with our brand. And then eventually we're going to use sales copy to say, hey, let's take this to the next level. I've got this offer. It fills your desire or solves a problem for you. What do you say? And do you have any questions? So they're both conversations. To be honest, those really come down to being conversations. One of them's a sales conversation and one of them's a friendship conversation. Does that make sense?
It is. And what I really love about that is because I believe that sales is service, right? And it really comes down to an invitation, right? It's not hardcore. I don't like hardcore. So I really love that you're saying that. One of the things that I think is interesting is I remember before 2020, right? You know, before 2020, I would have to say we did a lot of things that we were in person. And as a speaker and doing in-person things, people got to know you very quickly because you sat next to them while you were having coffee, or you went and met them for lunch. And as a speaker, you know, I was able to deliver my content and the value in a way that they got to touch you, hear you, feel you, see you at the back of the room and have conversations. And I have to say that like 95% of my sales came that way. When 2020 came and all of a sudden we weren't able to do that and we went into a virtual world, you needed to be able to transition over to doing that. So even though we did virtual events, it's not exactly the same, and you have to learn how to be able to do it. But then I felt like at that time, it was really important for me to update my website copy, because now you had to talk about, and you had to be able to share what people would learn about you in a conversation through your copy. Because, you know, people can look up and say, oh, I want to hire, say, a website person. And they can look at 10 different websites, you know, their website and go, yes, I have decided I do need to build a website. But it's the copy and the content and the vibe and the personality that lets them know whether that person is you. And so it's hard to talk about yourself. It's kind of like when people say, oh, introduce yourself. And you're like, it's always easier to let somebody else introduce you, or like, because you don't want to really like self-promote or be shameless or, you know, not be humble and brag on yourself. I mean, we're all taught not to do that. There is the right way to do it and the wrong way to do it. But it's so much easier when you have third party validation. So really having somebody help you that is what they do, to be able to take what is you. It's not like they're writing and it's not you, but, you know, to be able to take what is authentically you and know what questions to ask you so that the you comes out, and then they can translate that into copy that will convert for you. And not just convert, but let people know who you are so they know if you're the right person. So when you do make the invitation, they are leaning in to say yes. And that is a skill.
It is. And that kind of leads us to the brand differentiator question that you asked me about. So you're right, Patty. So if I met you in person, we've all had the experience of hiring somebody, whether it's a coworker, maybe it's someone who comes and does work on our house, maybe it's our dog sitter. It could be anybody that we hire. Obviously, we want them to be competent in their field. But if we like them and conversations are easy with them, that's it. Like, we want to do business with them. So I have a repair company that comes, and if our appliances go out, I love the guy. He is so nice, personal. He comes and chats and he knows what he's doing. He's always going to be the one that I call because I connect with him, not just in a competency level, but I like the way he does business. It's easy for me to call him and it's easy for me to have him come and fix things. That's how we make buying decisions. We want to work with people who it feels easy. right? And our personalities match. So you're right. It's difficult to convey that in copy. Now, we're also in a situation where there has never been a time in history where people have had access to information as much as they do right now. So especially for those of us who are service-based professionals, your clients, your potential clients, could probably do a lot of this stuff themselves, right? So they could read books about it. They could watch YouTube videos about it. They could take online courses about whatever. But what they do is they come to you for a very specific reason. They come to you because they don't want to spend hours learning how to do this. They come to you because you are the expert. You've already done the research. You have X number of years experience. And they also want to know, is it easy to do business with you? Does the way you do business align with the way they like to do business? So when I say brand differentiators, and I think this is a little bit different than niching or finding your niche, your brand differentiator is, how are you different from everybody else providing that same service? And it could be anything from, I'm a wise, sassy wisecracker, or I'm very serious. I'm detail oriented. Maybe my process is different than everybody else. Maybe I add extra steps that nobody else wants to add. It can be anything about your business that makes you unique to everybody else who is out there offering something very similar. All of your peers, all of your colleagues. So defining those brand differentiators helps you market yourself, just like you said, Patty, in a world where we're not always sitting next to each other at a conference. We're not always sitting next to each other in meetings. We don't always have that opportunity to chat with each other one-to-one. So now we have to be able to share our brand and how we're different than somebody else who offers. So I'm a copywriter. How am I going to differentiate myself from another copywriter? And there's a lot of us out there. We're all a little bit different and bring something to the table.
Why do I know that? I mean, yeah. Marketing has to be the biggest umbrella of all, right? You know, so I totally get that. But you know, it reminds me of a quick story about differentiating once, where I was talking into a group. There's probably about 30 of us. And I was talking about how you needed to be able to differentiate yourself. And this realtor said, Patty, I'm a realtor. Everybody knows 1, 10, or 20 realtors. Like, how could I differentiate myself? That, I don't think that applies to me. I said, it applies to everybody. But let me ask you a couple questions. So I asked her a couple questions. And through it, she said something so powerful. She said, well, before I became a realtor, I worked for a builder. And when I worked for the builder, I was in the negotiation department. I said, there's your differentiator. Mm-hmm. And I said, if I was going to buy a new house, I would certainly want to have a realtor who knew everything that they could negotiate on and everything they couldn't, right? Not every realtor can say that. That is your differentiator, and you should lead with that. That is a really good differentiator and stuff. And so it doesn't matter how many other people do it, or do the same thing that you do. I actually find the people who do what I do are my best collaborators, for sure, because we overlap a little bit. But I really like what you're saying, because it really is about what is different, what is that vibe about, and do you do it in the way that feels really good for me? Kind of like what your about page is. You know, my about page on my website doesn't sell my services, but I have to tell you that pretty much every person that I speak to will mention something to me about the about page. They'll say, oh, Patty, you had me at shoes, or, oh, you know what, I'm a cancer survivor too, or something like that. Or they'll find something unique that they'll resonate with, like, because that's personal, because that's something that we might have came up in a conversation if we were sitting next to each other having coffee. But I think the other thing is that when we all started back networking, you know, before, we did most of our networking in person, right? You know, there was online ones, but then here's all these local groups. And now you're seeing a lot of those organizations and communities coming online. Now, I have to tell you, after 2020, so really in like 2021, I really started looking for communities that I could be a part of. And I went through a few of them that didn't work for me because they were local, now going online, but it still had a local feel. It still kind of had that local feel. They didn't transition very well. It kind of almost felt like a clique that you didn't get to be a part of. And it was very, very uncomfortable. It was like being back in junior high, right?
Oh, yeah.
And it was really difficult. And so I literally said, you know what? I want to look for an organization that gets that, who understands that. A friend of mine said this one time, and I've never forgotten it. And she said that when we network online and offline, right, that we want to be treated equally, but not identically, because it's not the same. So equally, but not identically, because it is a little bit different. And that's how we met. That's how you and I met. We met through that community. And one of the reasons why I joined your community and actually even upgraded your community was because of how well you did that, which probably a lot of that was because of what you actually do for a living. But you really transitioned that so well that I know that a lot of the people there are from when you were meeting in person. I had never, ever felt like, oh, I was the stepchild because I wasn't, right? You know, and I was really, that was something I was really paying attention to. So when I say that, it's really about finding your communities. I love your community. I love being part of your community. I've hired people from that community. I literally hired somebody from that community the very first call I had. I was like, oh my gosh, they were amazing. And I did. And so I love doing all the things. So you have done really a great job at that. So thinking about community and all the things that you have done, how much of that, because you really walk your talk, right? You know, and so how much of that came from, I mean, like, let's get a little bit of the backstory. So it's not like you woke up one day and said, oh, I think I want to write copy and content, right? You know, so there's always a little aha moment of gets us to doing the things that we know that we were absolutely meant to do. But yet it is really clear that you are a master community builder and networker, right? It's a skill, and it is a skill people can acquire. But then there are those of us who just naturally kind of are really good at it. And you are one of those people. How has what your aha moment is, what has been the catalyst for you that really made you make this shift so that you're doing copy and your and content and community? And like, where is the sweet spot and all of that together? Because you're such a giver too.
Well, first of all, thank you for your kind words. And I have to say, we love having you in your in the community with us. You've been one of the most amazing collaborators and partners. You've given so much to the other members. I was thrilled when you joined because that was you're the exact person that we wanted in the community, a true collaborator, a giver, a sharer, and that's really what we're about in the community. And, you know, yeah, it's not like I woke up one day and was like, I'm going to start my own community. To be honest with you, I'm probably more introverted than I am extroverted, so it's not like I dreamt of this, but I've always been a communicator. So I was an English major. That was, I've always loved to read. I loved, always loved to write. I've always been fascinated with the mechanics of communicating and the emotions of communicating. And then I went back and got my MBA, and so I've always been fascinated with business. And really, copywriting and content marketing are the intersection of those two. And I never intended to start my community, but I found a hole. I found a gap that I really couldn't find a fit for. And I knew that I wanted to be a part of a community. I knew I needed it for my business. I also just wanted coworkers. I wanted a community of business besties to bounce ideas off of and share with. And people who are running their own business, it can be lonely, or it can, it's just not the same as working at a big company, which I have experience in doing that in a corporate world. There really is no equivalent when you're in the small business world. So I started it because I felt something was missing. And with the advent of, you know, Zoom and with the pandemic and everybody meeting online, I was like, well, this I can do because people are craving connection. And, you know, just like we were talking about, that's where the best sales come from. So even in the corporate world, when I watched my sales team go out and they had their pipelines and they nurtured their relationships, it's the same thing. They're building connections throughout their industry. They knew everybody. They talked with each other. They took care of each other. And I wanted to create that for the small business world. And I want to create that for my clients. And my clients were using everything at our disposal, including networking, including community, including copy, including content, to nurture relationships with prospects, potential collaborators. And Patty, I know you feel the same way. You just never know who eventually will be a client or a power partner. It's really nurturing those connections and then seeing where that goes. So to me, it was a natural intersection, although it's unusual for a copywriter and a content marketer to host their own community like I have. So that is one of my differentiators. And it's funny because I just signed a copywriting client. She had been referred, word of mouth referrals. So this is a note to your listeners. Word of mouth referrals will still look you up online. They will still look at your website, even if their best friend referred you. So I just signed this client and she had been referred by her very trusted advisor. And she called me and she said, I was looking at your website and I loved everything that you said about community and connection. So she was able to, she got referred to me, but she looked me up on my website and liked what she saw. I put out there what my brand differentiators were, my philosophy, and that. And then it cinched it for her. And she's like, I want to work with you. So that's how we can, that's to me is the intersection of copywriting and community.
It always boils down to really building relationships. And I think people will hire, or they'll look to hire, they're looking for the expertise, right? They're looking for the trusted person who gets them, right? And is an expert and that can actually provide the solution for the challenge they are. But what makes them stay, in my opinion, is the community that you build, right? You know, we hire the coach, we stay for the community because we love being a part of the community because it's always about the human connection. And, you know, we're in a world now where a lot of people are talking about AI, like you can't go a day or an hour even without people talking about AI. And I remember when ChatGPT first came out, everybody was like, oh my gosh, nobody's going to need a coach or a copywriter ever again. And I was like, no, that is not true. It's all in like, how are you using it? So I am sure that as a copy and content writer, you probably get asked this question all the time, right? Is what is the ways, like you probably know better than anybody, right? What are the ways that it makes sense for us to be using AI and when we should not? I mean, I know I use AI in my business every single day, but people hire me for my marketing expertise and I don't think they want that content to come from a robot, so to speak, right?
You know, right.
Like, so everything I write from my magazine article, everything I write is me. It's not what I use AI for. I use AI just to like as having an assistant or a VA to do tasks, right? You know, to be able to do those type of things for me. And the number one reason for me is because, and you mentioned it earlier about how people can read books and they can, you know, they can go on Google, right? You know, before it used to be, oh, Google it, right? You know, but the fact of the matter is I'm not in the information business. Google's in the information business. I'm in the transformation business, right?
That's right.
And Google can't do that. Google can give you information. So can an AI. It can give you information. It's not in the transformation business either. So if you're somebody that just provides information and you're thinking, oh, I'll just use AI for that. Well, you know, be prepared that that's not going to last for very long because that's not what people are looking for. They go to the library or, I belong to digital libraries and I love it. But, you know, they would get books, like you said, and do all that kind of stuff. That's not what we're looking for. I think more than ever, we care about that human connection, that building relationships in everything we do. And I have to tell you, that's the number one thing that I would be thinking about if when I'm hiring people for copy and content and stuff. It's like really somebody who gets that, like really understands that, who's a good listener, active listener, and can really take what I'm feeling, what I authentically feel, and can take that and put it in the right words, that's sales.
Yeah. Patty, I agree with everything you said. I loved what you said there. It is information, not transformation. So information is almost free right now. Almost free for almost any subject or very low cost, very low barrier. Transformation, people pay big money for. There's a reason why that exists. I have a business coach. I could read all the business books. I could read all the coaching books, but I actually pay for someone to work with me individually in my particular situation at any given time. And I'm not going to get that from a book, and I'm not going to get that from AI. We have to remember that these large language models, all they do is figure out what would come next based on your request. If I asked it, write me a blog on the top 5 marketing approaches for 2024, AI is thinking, what would that look like? What would that look like, if that kind of blog? It's not a thinking being. So it's really just literally repeating patterns. So it can be very powerful in helping you string together words, break through writer's block, but not, and even ideating in terms of like making sure you've covered all your bases. Maybe if you're writing a blog post about, I don't know, sales page copy for a massage therapist online course, maybe you might use that to structure it. Maybe you might get some ideas. Maybe it might trigger your creativity. Oh, I missed that spot. I should have talked about that. But remember in the beginning when I said sales copy is a conversation. So all of us go out and have sales conversations, and we have different sales conversations than each other. And AI cannot do that for you, cannot do it for you well, because you're taking into consideration your individual situation, your individual differentiators, your individual target markets, and phrasing those things in specific orders and very carefully about how, you know, talking to your audience in the way that they want to hear, talking to them and communicating with them, what do they need to hear and how can you satisfy that? So I think that AI certainly is a tool in the same respect that spreadsheets replaced calculators, manual calculators. We have electric drills, yep. And we have mechanics, right? So we have spreadsheets, but finance hasn't gone away. And, you know, all of the thinking.
Canva, and we still have graphic designers.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Oh, that's an example, right? So Canva. So yes, I've used Canva templates. I've been using them for years. And now I just hired a graphic designer to hire me to do some very specific ones for my brand. I don't want to use the same templates that I see everybody else using. I wanted specific to my brand. And I went to a designer that I like their take on things. I like the way they design. And I like working with them personally. And that's where I chose. That's where I chose to spend that capital there. So, you know, certainly AI is a tool to make. If I was going to write a thank you note, you know, confirmation page, yes, I would use that maybe AI to generate that and then tinker with that and make it personalized. But, you know, to create copy or to create content, it's really repurposing what millions of other people have already said. And, you know, we talk about how much noise there is out there. If you're just going to contribute to the noise, and I think, I don't want to be harsh, but I think Seth Godin had a quote and he basically said, if you can't say anything better or different than a computer can, please don't interrupt someone's day. And I sat with that for a long time. And I was like, yes, he's right. Like, if we're going to create something and put something out there, or you're going to drop an email into someone's inbox, they've invited you into their inbox and your email marketing, and you're going to just drop something in there that's wasting their time, then you might not be in there for very long. What can you create?
How many times
that is valuable?
Mostly like in corporate or when we were working and you go to a meeting, like, you know, you go to this meeting. I mean, how many times have you walked out of a meeting and thought to yourself, now they could have just stuck that in an email, right? You know what
yep.
I mean? And so,
yeah,
because we're all so busy, right? We're all so busy.
Right.
But you know what I love about having somebody who is a content marketer versus somebody who just writes copy?
Yeah.
Is that because they can think, if you build a relationship with someone, human connection, they get to know you, they get to yep. know like what's important to you, what's authentic to you.
Yep.
Here's what I'm paying for. I want to pay, this is what people hire me for, I know, because they tell me to shorten my learning curve, right?
Yeah.
Shorten my learning curve, right? That's mm-hmm. huge for me. And what I love most of all, and I've had it happen to me so many times when I've hired somebody and they've done a great job. And then like 3 months later, somebody, they would contact me and say, you know, Patty, when I did the this, this, and this, you know what? I had this great idea. I saw something and man, it fits perfectly with your brand. Or if somebody's, you know, if you were doing something and say you, I literally told you all about who I am and all this kind of stuff and wanted you to write content for me, like a robot's not going to email you back or pick up the phone and call you and say, hey, you know that thing that I did for you 3 months ago and I wrote that sales page for you? You know what? I just saw on social media where you said you were going to do this. You know, we could tie that together and we could do this. Like,
yeah,
only people can do that.
Yeah.
Right? Because we have a relationship, right?
Yeah.
You know, I know that when I see people on social media all day long and I'll see something, I'll think, oh, they said something. I think all the time when I'll drop something on there and say, hey, you know what? I just read this thing that I think might help you here. Here's a link to the blog. I'm not saying hire me. It might not even be about me. I just,
yep.
You know, but people do that when we build relationship. So I just really wanted to touch, because we are talking about copy and content, that yes, AI can be really, really great and can do a lot of good things. I love, you know, I love some of the things it does. I have literally gone into ChatGPT, especially if you season it and you actually
get
it, you know, train it to talk like you. I've gone in there and said, oh, I need to do 5 you know, YouTube shorts this week, and I want to do them on this, this, and this. Like, what are some topics? And then it'll spit out topics. And I'm like, no, no. But sometimes it'll spit out something, and what they said isn't what I'm going to do, but it sparks me to go, oh, well, you know what? I just did that. I could talk about that. It just
exactly
helps to brainstorm. And for that, it can be really good, because a person, if they haven't been writing your copy for a long time, they're not going to remember everything that you've ever done. I sound like I can just season you.
Right.
I kind of can.
Right, you're like,
I kind of can. But you know what I'm saying. So
I do
feel like having that human person that I that you hire, that you can say, I mean, actually, like last week when I was changing up something and I wrote to you and I said, Christine, I wrote this. I feel like it portrays exactly what I want to say. Like, can I run it by you? You looked at it and literally wrote back to me and said, shift like these two words and maybe use this one word. Whatever, then was like, great. That was like so great. It made it so much more succinct and stuff though. And I appreciate that. But building a relationship is what enables you to do that, so that you knew, oh no, Patty, for you, I would have used this word. That fits you more, right? You know,
that's right.
When I say to people, are you open to this? I think of marketing ideas for them and whatever. So building relationships, I think, is really important.
Yeah.
So because you do that, how are some of the ways that you help make people respond to the content, right? You know, so writing great content's really good.
Mm-hmm.
But when you are really thinking about conversion, whether it is to join your group or what, you know, it doesn't actually have to be like you're selling a product. Like,
right.
We're selling ourselves all the time on a lot, you know, not just on something that's a product or service. But what are some of the things that you take into consideration that are really the most important things? Because I know that you talk about the power of three, how to reduce decision fatigue, right?
Yes.
You know, man, we get decision fatigue, right?
Yes.
In our content marketing, using the power of three. Now,
yes.
When I think power of three, when I first heard that, I'm thinking about how I do my accessories and with my jewelry and my purse and my shoes and how I know, oh, do that, take one off, you know, whatever. That's what I think when I think power of three.
Yep.
But I'm a fashion girl. But when you're thinking about content marketing, and you're thinking about this whole decision fatigue, and we do have decision fatigue, right? All day long.
A time.
What are you referring to, and how important is this power of three that you talk about?
Sure, sure. So the thing about content marketing is it's like, it's wide open. There's just unlimited amount of things you can do. And then you start following people in the marketing industry and they're like, well, could you learn the Instagram tactics, right? Could you, what about trending audios? And then what about TikTok? And people want to know how to do this on each platform. And honestly, you could drive yourself crazy trying to keep up with every last button and tactic and on the platforms, and they change constantly. So we will never win that battle. You will always have to keep up with the tactics in the individual platforms. That will always happen. And so I think what happens is people get a little overwhelmed, myself included. Like I have shining object syndrome, just like every other entrepreneur. I'm like, oh, it's a new platform.
I call that brilliant ideas. I call that brilliant ideas.
I do. Sure. We're creators. And just a little sidebar. I know a lot of entrepreneurs and business owners don't consider themselves creative. But my humble opinion, if you've created something out of nothing, you created a business entity where there wasn't one, you are a creator. You have created your own vision. So we're creators. We have ideas and we have passions, but you could go crazy. And then what I find happens is that it's almost too much. And then people get too overwhelmed. There's analysis paralysis. Again, I also fall victim to that. And then the instinct is like, well, shut down. I don't know where to go. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to start. This feels willy-nilly. And so they either don't do anything, you know, or they just throw spaghetti at the wall to see what sticks. And so, you know, not everybody's in a position to hire someone to write their own plan and to resource it out. I've created the Power of Three, and it's very, very simple. And it just kind of like eliminates some of that clutter and just gets you focused. And so the
power. I love that you're going to share it.
I will share it.
Here it is. Proven secrets behind the scenes. Here's the framework.
Here's the beginning of the framework. This is a high level framework. I like to pick three channels to focus on. All right. And by channels, I mean, you could say email marketing is a big thing for me. Maybe podcasting is a big thing for me. Maybe Instagram or LinkedIn or YouTube or Pinterest or TikTok. Just pick three. Or communities. In fact,
So you're not saying pick three social media channels. You're saying pick three channels.
Pick three channels. So for my business, it's primarily community, and it's LinkedIn, and it's email. All right. So those are really the three channels that I focus on, but not everybody should choose those channels. People should choose a channel that works for their business. And I will say this, I don't want to give too much away, go too into the weeds, but when you pick your channels, I have two criteria. Number one, are my prospects there? Number two, do I like it? Do I like that channel? Because I think a lot of people will force themselves, say, well, I think everybody, my audience is on Instagram, so I better be there. They'll come to me, they'll ask me, because I do this privately, I create these plans for people as my private work. And so they'll say to me, all right, can you help me? I need a plan for Instagram. And come to find out, they hate Instagram. They don't even want to be on the platform. And so I'm like, maybe we need to rethink this, because now you're creating friction where there doesn't need to be. So let's rethink. You're not going to want to do it. We don't want, like,
which
you know in your heart. Which means you won't.
Which means you won't.
You won't. You won't. So if you really want to be on Instagram and you're convinced that that's where people are, then hire somebody to represent you on Instagram. That's another solution. But if you're going to do it, and if you just get that gut feeling of like, I hate this platform, and nothing is Instagram, I'm just saying maybe it's Pinterest, maybe it's YouTube.
That's how I feel about TikTok.
Some people love it. Some people hate it. If you have a gut reaction that says, ugh, then please either outsource it or just find a new way. So pick three channels that meet those two criteria. Are your people on it? And do you somewhat enjoy it? Or do you not?
Can I add to that?
Please.
Can I add to that?
Oh, please.
So I agree with you 100%. But I'm marking in front of you, I'm going to stretch the one.
Ooh,
so yes, are your people there? I also like to say, are my people there, and people who have proximity to my people? I like to expand that a little bit, because sometimes it's like, it is my people, but sometimes, for example, you know, I don't have a lot. I'll just give an example. I don't have a lot of VAs that are my clients. However, I love doing things with VAs because they do serve my clients usually. Right, so I like to be. So I actually belong to one whole group of VAs, and I come in and I teach them how to market. But they have proximity to all my clients, proximity to most of my clients. So I have built a relationship. But you know what? I have to give too, right? You know, so I always go in and so they love being able to ask me questions about, well, you know what? I had a client, this, like, what would that look like, right?
Right.
And I help them to do that too. So we have formed a relationship too. So I have to tell you, I think narrowing those two things that you're saying, I think are very, very important. And then, of course, you know, building that community, because the community that you have built, I love that you have a free version and a paid version, right? You know,
that's right.
And right away, I saw the value in the paid version, right? You know, I'm kind of that girl. And literally, it's amazing to me the value of it for the money, to be honest. And so I love that, and in all the ways. But because, like what you said, that it's not very often that somebody who does what you does has a community.
Right.
But in a way, I think it is really true for you, though, because you serve communities and you are like, it's kind of like how I have a mastermind. I feel like I've been to a whole bunch of masterminds. I've spent literally hundreds of thousands of dollars. Some I really, really loved, some not so much.
Yeah.
I believe that in anything, if you can't find exactly what you're looking for, create it. You know? Create it. And so it's really clear, like, you have created this community. What's really nice, though, is earlier in the conversation, when I was telling you that I was struggling finding that right community, I sat there and thought to myself, oh, should I create it? And I just didn't want to. And it's like, I had the capacity for it. I had done it before many times. At that point, I just didn't want it. I was like, no, I just want to find a community of my people, right?
Yeah.
But most importantly, I wanted to find a community of my people who was run by somebody who had integrity, who was a community builder, and who really liked to serve and wasn't just using it as a platform for them, right? You know, and stuff. And you fit that bill so perfectly. So first of all, I just want to say everybody should join her community, whether you join the free version or whether you upgrade to the version. But what is the, I know what the name of it is, but go ahead and tell us a little bit about the
community. Sure. Well, thank you for the, so we invite you all to join us. It's called the Busy People Network, and it's really a unique combination of the two ways that I built my business. That is, one is networking, so there's a networking, huge networking component to it, but that's not just what it is. It's not just a networking community. It is a content marketing community, and that's the second piece, and that's where I come in. I created templates. I have weekly content prompts that go out to the paid members. I have sessions where you come and do your marketing with me and with the group. So there's a lot of support there. I also invite curated experts to come and speak to the group privately and conduct some private training. So really, Patty, what I did was everything that I do to make my business successful, I created a community to give that to everybody else. I just created a platform for everybody else to do what I do.
And I think that is just really fabulous. We will have the links for that below. So if you're listening to this or watching it, either way, that you will have the buttons to that. And I invite you to go ahead and join that. That would be something to be super glad that you did.
Yeah.
But to get back also to really wrapping up the content marketing.
Yes.
Could you share with us, now I know who the demographic is of who watches the show, right? You know, who watches and listens to the show.
Yeah.
So could you share a story? Could you share a story or an example? I think the story is so much nicer than example. Somebody who came to you, I'm going to make this up on the fly even.
All right. Oh, boy.
Okay. So somebody who is, we'll say, a woman, she's been in business for a few years, all these new things are coming out. She's kind of thinking to herself, oh, you know, I used to just do one-on-one. Now I need to be coming up with, you know, a launch and I'm going to need a sales page and a landing page. And oh my goodness, I'm on podcast now. And now I need to, you know, have a lead magnet. And, you know, it's a little bit harder to get the word out now. So if somebody like that came to you, and I'm sure you've had clients that were just that person. What are a few things that you like have helped them with, and what are some of the results that they have been able to see from really being able to work with you to dial in on really that content? Because, you know, first of all, you can only make so much money doing one-on-one, right?
That's right.
And, you know, time for dollars can only shine so far. But with everything that's changing, if there's anything we know, that things are changing all the time. So if you were to work with somebody like that, I think everybody that's listening is that person, knows somebody's that person, that is their client too, or whatever, or at least can can resonate with the story. Give us an example of somebody that has kind of been there and that you have been able to help them.
Sure. Yes. So actually, I'm helping somebody with very similar situation this week. This person does a lot of solely one-to-one work. And part of their mission was to serve more people. But as you know, like, there's only so many hours in the day. We do not have unlimited time slots to help people. And so this professional had created this group program that would be a good entry point for people. So she could serve people at a group level. And then if they felt like they needed some more individualized approach, she could certainly take them on as individual clients, but that this would be a nice way to serve multiple people. And so she came to me and she said, yeah, I need help marketing. And so initially she had just said, can you help me write the sales page? And of course, and I already was familiar with her brand because I had helped her with her website copy. And I said, of course, but what we need to do, we really also need to look at the whole picture, right? How are you inviting people to that page? And then what happens once they've signed up and how are we keeping them in your world? So I think sometimes when it comes to marketing, we get very involved in the actual sale. Like, that becomes the focal point. How am I going to make this actual sale? And that, of course, is very important. Your sales page, like I said, that copy is written very specifically in a way to have those conversations. But what we talked about was, how are we going to invite people to your sales page? And how are you warming people up before that sales page? How are you already building those relationships so that... So here's an example, Patty. So I'm very familiar with your brand. So Patty, if you put out a new offer, like I'm interested already, right? I already know you. I already trust you. I love your perspective. So I'm like, I'm interested and I'm looking at it, and I'll go straight to that sales page and like evaluate. Do I need this? What's the details? Can I make the time? Blah, blah, blah. Someone who might be a little bit colder, doesn't really know you, Patty. Maybe they've heard the name Patty Farmer. They're not totally sure what you're about. How are you going to nurture that person in order to fill this spot? And so we look at the whole thing. How many people do you already have in your world? And remember how I said those three channels? Everybody has multiple channels, whether they think about it in that way or not, right? So some people have a list, email list. Some people have a following. Some people have their own communities. Some people have podcast followers. Some people just network locally. And some people have this beautiful community of previous clients that they've served, right? So you've got all these channels, and how are you going to reach out to each individual one in a personalized way? So reaching out to your private clients who you've worked with in the past, it's going to be different than when she shows up she shows up on maybe somebody else's podcast. And so she's being introduced to an entirely different audience. How are we going to position each of those entry points into, and I hate the term sales funnel, but the journey? How are we going to introduce them into her universe?
I mean, nurturing is what it is about. Like, you know, it is about really nurturing them. So when you do all that, and you're not going to talk to all of them people the same, right? You know, somebody that's a past client versus somebody brand new in their community versus somebody that you're on somebody's podcast that may have asked you on the podcast. You don't even really know them all that well. Never mind who their audience is, although you should have asked. But, you know, with that and stuff, like, of course you're not going to be able to. And maybe somebody can do some of that. You know, maybe somebody's like, oh, well, I can talk to my past clients. I am on Facebook all the time. I can talk to people on Facebook.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. But that's not where all your potential clients are, on just those places. I mean,
that's right. That's right. And you're right. We talked to different audiences. So I'm a copywriter. And if I got into a podcast that was geared towards new entrepreneurs, I would speak to them differently than if I got on a podcast that was for six-figure, seven-figure businesses already. Because they already know half the stuff that I would say. You know, they already know what I would say to the beginners. They're looking at a much more nuanced and sophisticated level. Same person. I would deliver different content because my audiences are different and they want to hear different things. They want to learn different things.
And a lot of times they don't want to do it, because I have to tell you that most of the dollars that I spend these days Most of the dollars that I spend these days are, I mean, that's why I always have like two or three coaches, you know, coaches have coaches, and I always have several. And they're usually, even though I have a business coach, I always have a couple coaches for something that I'm working on that is an expert. So I have to tell you, I probably write the biggest checks for me for people that know how to do something specialized that I actually do know how to do, but don't want to. I don't want to do that, right? You know, I don't want to do it. I can tell them enough to make them be able to do it for me fabulously because that is their area of expertise.
Yeah.
I'm going to give them the information that they need, right? You know, and so to me, that's what I want. Like, that's not what I got into business to do. And we're so funny because one of those is copy. Like, I have to tell you, for me, whenever I'm going to do anything, like whenever I do my events, if I'm having a speaker, I can pretty much tell you one of my speakers will always be somebody who does. And if I'm collaborating in anything, copy is always something that I want because now that I actually publish a magazine, I actually can write copy. And everybody keeps telling me that I'm good at it. I don't really feel like I'm as good at it as everybody else thinks that I am, but I speak from my heart authentically and hopefully that resonates, right? But I have to say, if I was trying to do something brand new or whatever,
right?
I don't want to just hope that I'm speaking to them. I want somebody who's going to say, yes, I'll speak to them from my heart. Here, I'll make a video. Right. I'm going to speak to them from my heart. I'll give you the content. I'll do it in the ways that I know how, but I need you to take that. And I have to tell you, even for my own magazine, you would not believe. As soon as the magazine comes out, it takes me 3 months to write that article till the next one comes out. Because I don't love to write. People say, you don't love to write? I'm like, no, I do not love to write. I love to talk. You know? But anyway.
Yes.
So I just want to be able to say thank you so much for being here with
you.
I appreciate it so much. Tell me how people can connect with you.
Sure. Well, you're all welcome to come check us out at the Busy People Network. I know Patty will drop all the links here below. You can always check me out at my website, which is christinemcshane.com. I know Patty will put that in the show notes as well. And I have a couple of free gifts that Patty can put in the show notes. I do have a worksheet. We were talking about key differentiators. I wasn't going to share this, but I do have a worksheet that helps people identify their key differentiators that you can also find on my website as well. But I think come into the community. Come see.
That would be awesome. I think that's awesome. That's what they need to do. They need to come into the community, go to your website. Everything is there. So I think that's wonderful.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Christine. I appreciate you being here with me today.
Thank you, Patty. This was so much fun. Thank you so much.
It was fun. And to my audience, thank you so much for spending another week with us. We look forward to seeing you again next week. If you love this episode, and I'm sure you did, please leave us a review, like, and share it. Thank you so much. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for joining us today on the Marketing, Media, and Money podcast. To shorten your learning curve even more, make sure to grab your free copy of the Marketing, Media, and Money magazine at m3magazine.com. That's M, the number 3, magazine.com. I promise your business will thank you.